It's the, in case you didn't know, it's the first Sunday of a new year, 2018. My, oh my. And usually that's how we say it, isn't it? Well, it's 2018. But, you know, there is something that we should do that would probably help us understand a little bit about our place in all of this history. Because if you look at how 2018 is designated, there's two ways. There's one, it says this is AD 2018. And another is this is 2018 CE. And the CE stands for Common Era. The AD, which is falling into disuse because we want to use CE now more, but the AD is Anno Domini, which if we would translate, it's the year of our Lord, 2018. And if we think in terms of 2018 as the year of our Lord, we're going to be looking differently at it than if we say, well, it's 2018 of the Common Era. Because the Common Era just means that, well, we stopped calling it BCE, which is before the Common Era, and now we call it CE, Common Era. And what that does is it removes Jesus from it. But if you say this is AD 2018, it's the year of our Lord. And it changes how we think of ourselves and think of what we are about. Because when we're standing at the beginning of the year of our Lord, 2018, we will understand that there are some things we need to do about believing. Because that's really what a church is about. We gather as believers here. I want to read for you some verses from the book of Hebrews. I'm going to start in chapter 10 at verse 19, and I'm going to read just into chapter 11. And let's stand for the reading of the word this morning. And there we hear this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecutions. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Any of you read The Atlantic magazine? Perhaps? Okay. The Atlantic is a journal of contemporary thought, and it's really quite influential amongst our cultural elites. And in September of this year, in September of last year, the cover story was about how America went haywire by a certain Kurt Anderson. Do any of you have experience with haywire? It's just interesting that that's a part of our cultural language. You know, everything going haywire. Well, do we even know what haywire is? I do, because I had personal experience with it when I was a kid. It means everything's a mess. And you can't use haywire to fix something that really ought to be welded. And back on the farm, we often used haywire, and it wasn't always pleasant, the results. But what happened is in September, this Kurt Anderson wrote about how America went haywire. And after he gets into it a little ways, this is what he says. And I just have to quote this for you. How widespread is this promiscuous devotion to the untrue? How many Americans now inhabit alternate realities? Any given survey of beliefs is only a sketch of what people in general really think. But reams of survey research from the past 20 years reveal a rough, useful census of American credulity and delusion. By my reckoning, the solidly reality-based are a minority. Maybe a third of us, but almost certainly fewer than half. Only a third of us, for instance, don't believe that the tale of creation in Genesis is the word of God. Only a third strongly disbelieve in telepathy and ghosts. Two-thirds of Americans believe that angels and demons are active in the world. Now remember, he's talking about delusions and so on. More than half say they're absolutely certain heaven exists. And just as many are sure. And again, he's talking about delusions and alternate realities. And just as many are sure of the existence of a personal God, not a vague force or a universal spirit or a higher power, but some guy. And he gets the cover story in The Atlantic. When we had gotten the magazine and I was reading through it and I was thinking, gee, you know, this guy's, he's got the ear of America here. And he's saying all this stuff is delusions. And he's talking, the actual title of his thing was Believe, How America Went Haywire. But I think back, back in the day, actually not that terribly long ago, believing was okay. In fact, Mavis, could we see if this will run now? You are what you believe. This is an ad.
I don't believe in the path of least resistance. I believe babe is a four-letter word. I believe sweat is sexy.
I believe the thinner the air gets, the clearer your head gets.
I don't believe in liposuction. I don't believe that one size fits all.
I believe 70 is a long way from over.
I believe in cowboys.
I believe that the person who said winning isn't everything never won anything.
I can't deal with
your ass. I believe you should go big or stay home.
I don't believe blonde hair
more
fun.
I believe in mass transit.
I believe in howling at the moon.
I believe construction workers wear their pants like that on purpose.
I believe there's an athlete in all of us.
That's from 1992, shows my age a little bit, but it's one that I remember, you know, because I believe was a central thing on that ad. And this is for a Reebok women's footwear store, in case you didn't catch all the Reeboks in there. But the Reebok I Believe ads started in 1990, and they went to about 1995 because they found that they were extremely effective. Because they would say, I believe, and you are what you believe. And I happen to think that that's a good line. You are what you believe. But what is it that we believe? On another one of these, the Reebok ads, in case you couldn't understand all these, there was one in there that said, I believe sweat is sexy. I believe that anybody who says winning isn't everything never won anything. And on a different one, it's, I believe that any dog that doesn't weigh that weighs less than 5 pounds is not a dog. You know, but they caught the imagination of American people, and women bought Reebok shoes because it expressed, I believe. And now, today, a mere, what is it, from 1992 to now, 25 years, it has come to the point now where the Atlantic magazine publishes as its cover story, Believe, How America Went Haywire. So he's taking on the Reebok people, really. But it's interesting, in the whole article, he never mentioned Reebok. He just talks about these people who live in these alternative realities and who have all these delusions, like they think God is some guy. As you stand today at the beginning of a new year, what do you think about the idea of believing? What do you believe? You are what you believe. And what you believe is going to shape 2018 for you. What you believe is going to make a difference on how you function in 2018. What you believe is going to shape your understanding of our world. It's going to shape your understanding of the reality in which we live. It's going to shape your ideas about what is right and what is just and what is good for our society. It's going to shape what you do in your families. It's going to shape what you do at your job. It's going to shape everything that you are. You are what you believe. Now, I was reading for you this morning from the sermon that we call the book of Hebrews. And in there, the author's talking about believing, and people who were suffering great persecution kept believing. And he said, it's because you kept believing that now you can stand. We are not of those who shrink back and so are lost. Instead, we are the people who believe and are saved. Do you stand with the guy who wrote that in Hebrews for us under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit? Of course, that's just a belief too, and that's kind of a delusion, I suppose, Kurt Anderson would say. When he talks about Christianity, by the way, I just got to throw this in. When he talks about Christianity, he says he had many friends who are Christians, but they keep it to the reasonable. They don't go in for all the fairy tales and the fables and the legends and so on. They're reasonable people. I guess, you know, his friends are kind of self-chosen that way. You know, birds of a feather tend to flock together. What do we believe? What do we believe? The writer of Hebrews says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Earlier we sang a song that talked about, you know, our fathers were wandering people, and that comes out of Hebrews 11, where Abraham is wandering and he's looking for his city. The writer of Hebrews says that's got foundations and whose architect and builder is God. You know, if he wanted to go back home, he had plenty of opportunity to go back home. But when God called him, he believed that God said, "You are to go to this land I'm going to show you." And then the writer of Hebrews adds in the phrase that many women have quoted again and again and again when they're talking about their husband, even though he didn't know where he was going. And it says he was looking for a city that would last, a city that had foundations. And by faith it also tells us in Hebrews 11 that Abraham, you know, he waited 25 years for a son to be born, and then that son is born, and a few years later God comes to him and says, "Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, I want you to take your laughter, and I want you to sacrifice him to me on a mountain that I will show you." And by faith Abraham goes. And the writer of Hebrews adds why it is that he goes. He goes because he believes God can raise the dead. He believes, and so he acts. He believes, and therefore he can hear God speaking, and he can do what God wants him to do. And you can go throughout the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and you can see all these different kinds of things. He comes to the end, and he's talking about people who weren't the great heroes that we might talk about, like Abraham and Noah. Instead, he talks about people who had to hide in caves, and they wore the skins of animals because they had no other clothing, and they lived on locusts, and they were often in places where they were often chased down, and he said, and they were stoned, they were sawn in two. And he said, but everyone kept their faith because they were looking for the promise. They were in pursuit of the promise. They wanted the promise. And faith is the assurance of things we hope for, the conviction of things that we can't see. Kurt Anderson says that if there's one thing in common with all kinds of beliefs that he's been able to determine, and that is that every one of them has at its core something that is non-falsifiable. What that is, it's a big word that just means you can't prove that it's wrong because it's a delusion. And so he says all this talk of God, it's a delusion. And I can't prove it false But he says, how can you stand to keep believing in God, in a God who loves and cares and wants to do good for you when you see all of the horror and the violence and the destruction around you? How can you believe in a God who cares? How can you keep believing when everything looks like it's denying what you believe? We stand at the beginning of a new year. What do you believe? One of the things the church has done over the centuries, it goes all the way back to really the scriptures. You can find some of the early confessions of faith they have in there. But one of the things that the church has used is the Apostles' Creed. And when we come to the Lord's table, there's times when we use the Apostles' Creed and we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What difference does that make? How does that change your life? When you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, you look around yourself, you look at yourself, and you go, wow. And I get to know this God. I'm not an accident. I'm not something that just fell into place. I have a purpose. God is my Father. He's my creator. And the church goes on and says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. What difference does that make? When you confess your sins, when you come to the Lord's table, you realize that all that guilt, all that mess that is your life, it's covered. It's covered by the blood and the body of Jesus. Pretty soon we'll come to take bread and the cup and we'll share them together. And what we're saying is that this makes me new. On the third day he rose again. As we say about Jesus in the Apostles' Creed, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there he is going to come to judge the living and the dead. That means there's going to come a day when all that's wrong is going to be made right. Justice will be done. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. What difference does that make? It says that this life isn't everything that there is. The writer of Hebrews said that those who were undergoing persecution there in the city where he was writing to, and I think this would be really tough for most of us, they happily endured the confiscation of all their goods. But they believed. And what did they believe? They believed that they had greater and better possessions that couldn't be seen. That's why as we live before the Lord, we look for what is coming. It's a conviction of what is to come. We stand at the beginning of a brand new year. We stand at the threshold of coming to share the Lord's Supper together. And in doing so, to share in the understanding that Jesus has changed everything. He's changed us. And it's no delusion. It's no delusion. You and I could probably write some very nice articles in the Atlantic. We'll never publish them as the cover story. You laugh. Oh, my goodness. She doesn't believe I could write that good. But the problem is that we are not the ones who are the intellectual elite of our country. Instead, we're people who believe. And in the Psalms it says, I meditate upon your word, O Lord, and therefore I am wiser than all my teachers. This year can be a year of meditating upon the word and becoming wise. And by faith, 2018 will be a great year for you. By faith, you will see wondrous things going on. By faith, you will discover that you are what you believe. Reebok had it right.